where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hello there, educators. It's time for Okla Said, the official Okla Ed podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Scott. You can find me on the Twitter at teachfromhere. My good friend Aaron has been called away with some family stuff, and we send her the best of wishes. So it could be a bit shorter, as there will be no friendly back and forth banter, and I don't think we've got an interview with Dean Garn yet, but should that come along, I will add it to the podcast and maybe even put it out there as a separate one so that you are sure to benefit from that. And the host for the podcast this week was Dean Garn. He is the University of Oklahoma Janine Rainbow College of Education Dean. And you can find him on the Twitter at Dean Garn. Pretty easy to do. And the chat this week was all about looking for community solutions for education. How can our communities benefit education? What can they do to work with educators and school districts? What can they do to just overall, what can these communities do to find solutions for some of the things that that we're struggling with as education and Oklahoma continues to lose funding, and we deal with some of the realities that legislative action is just not progressing fast enough. And so there were several great questions tonight. We'll dive in with question number one, which was, Okla Ed can't wait any longer for state and federal solutions. What could local leaders do to attract and retain great teachers in Oklahoma? There was a lot of ideas right here. I really liked what Mr. Josh Flores had to say, your pal Josh Flores. He said, decrease instructional mandates, promote entrepreneurial mindsets. And I think this is great, because one of the things that happens with teachers is we have to do what we're mandated to do by law. And it seems like there's just almost never ending mandate after mandate after mandate that, and ultimately it winds up on the teacher's desk. And it can just be really difficult to struggle through all of that stuff. And at the same time that educators are trying to meet every mandate that's come down, they get into this mindset of must achieve this objective. And it can really be difficult to get outside of that basically scripted classroom. And with this entrepreneurial mindset, we can look for creative solutions to that. We can be creative in our classrooms. We can look for and enjoy and explore ways to really be amazing educators and not be so bound to specific instructional mandates, because hopefully those will go away. So I myself am a big believer that one of the things we could do is get rid of some of those things. I know that when you look at the mandates, and there's a slide on the Department of Education website, when you look at the federal mandates compared to the mandates from the state of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma mandates are far and away cost a lot more money to try and implement than the federal ones do. So I don't know. I think there's something in there from my pal, Josh Flores. Question two, what community entities or businesses have the highest stake in having a great school and teachers in their community, and how can we get them involved? I wasn't able to participate in chat on Sunday. I was busy on dad duties, but oh my gosh, it benefits everybody in our state, and it benefits everybody in our community, it benefits everybody in our region, it benefits. When we invest in our schools and we have great schools in all of our communities, everybody benefits. And Heather Ballou at Blueberry, B-A-L-L-O-U Berry, she said, doesn't everyone have a stake in education? Business leaders, parents, city government, everyone? Hashtag our future. I thought this was a great tweet, because the cost of living in Oklahoma is low. People in Oklahoma are super friendly. Businesses come here. Devin's built this huge, massive building in downtown Oklahoma City. People constantly talk about the friendliness that that you have here in Oklahoma. But how long can we continue to not invest in our schools? How long will that happen? How long will businesses want to come here because we offer very, very, very low taxes if they know that their students, their children who will be students, may not be participating in a top-notch education potentially? So I think Heather hit it right on the head. Everybody has a stake in this, from our CEOs all the way down to our folks that are working third shift, we all have a stake, because an educated community can do amazing, amazing, amazing things. But the thing with education is, in my opinion, it's an investment for 10 to 15 to 20 years in the future. You're not going to see an immediate return on that. But if you've created strong schools, if you've created a strong education environment, if you've supported, if those communities have supported their schools and their teachers and their educators, 15 years down the road, once those kindergarten kids and middle school kids have graduated and gone to college, they've got that there. They've got that knowledge, they've got that experience, and they want to come back and contribute in these ways. So it just takes time. And sometimes in this world, we just want to see such a fast return. And with education, it's difficult. Question three, blow or few incentives being discussed that could mean huge savings for educators. What would be the most beneficial, and what would you add to the list? And so here are some of the lists. Healthcare for teachers and or students, student debt benefits, child care supports or subsidy, continuing education or professional development support. I thought this was a really good question too, because you know, when you go to work at different organizations, there's a whole benefit package, and it's a general benefits package, and it not every piece of that benefit package may apply to me at that current time in my life. And the same thing here with what Dean Garn has shared, is these are some options. And I saw some tweets that revolved around different people saying, well, I don't really need a child care subsidy. That's not something that applies to me at this moment, or different variations thereof. Or I don't necessarily need health care. My spouse has good health care coverage or whatever. And granted that not each individual thing would lead to me wanting to take a job there, like I may or may not need healthcare based on my spouse, or I may or may not need child support or subsidy if I do or don't have kids, or I'm planning or not planning to have kids, as it were. But if we can offer this broad package, then it's there for teachers as those things become necessary. And so I think that's really something to consider. We shouldn't throw just one thing out because a few people don't apply to that particular idea. And so tweets were all over the place with some great things. Jason Perez, who is at Jason Perez 75, said, we need a structured teacher leader model for our state. Give opportunities to promote while still remaining in the classroom. And I think that's a valuable experience. I've had conversations with other friends on Twitter. I would love to be able to see some of my friends that I've met through Twitter, through Okla Ed. I would love to see them teach. I would love to see how they're leading their school every day. I'd like to be able to shadow them as they go through their halls and see what they're doing, because we have amazing educators in Oklahoma, and they share what they're doing, and they're passionate, and we are working so hard with so little. And there is virtually, when I was in the classroom, there was no time to be able to leave to go see a master teacher in another school or another city or somewhere else across the state. That wasn't a possibility. And I feel like Jason's saying, look, give us an opportunity to do this. I could be a teacher leader from a different school, and people could come and see my class if they wanted to. And so why can't the opportunity be given for me to go and do that as well? And it just can have an amazing impact once you get out of kind of those four walls of your building and you get some different views on things. So I think he hit it right on the head. Question four, home ownership is the first step in building strong communities. And with homeowner programs like OHFA Dream and Homes for Heroes, teachers save on purchasing a new home in Oklahoma. Would this incentive attract teachers to Oklahoma? I'm not really sure what the OHFA Dream is or how it necessarily works. I know that some people don't want to own a home. And again, this falls into the whole package of, you know, do we not do this because a few people don't want to? But would this incentive attract teachers? And I'm not sure, because based on where you live or how you live or what you want in your home, these things could be different. But Drew Price, who is at Drew Price 11, said yes, but only addresses part of the problem that may lure some in. How do we retain them? So what Drew is saying is, yeah, we can get these teachers here by offering them opportunities to buy these homes, but then how can we keep them here in Oklahoma once they get here? That's the fight that we're having to overcome right now, especially when you look around at other states and where teachers retire in Oklahoma is a starting pay in neighboring states. And you can talk about home ownership all you want to, but how do we keep these teachers in Oklahoma? When I was teaching the pre-service teachers in Stillwater at Oklahoma State. I just, with informal polling, roughly half my teachers, pre-service teachers, were planning on moving somewhere to some other state to teach. So that's really something that we need to keep an eye on. Would it help buying a home? Yes, I wanted to have a home. And gosh, if there was a way for a teacher to get a home loan that was worked with teachers, God, that would be great. But I wonder too if there could be benefits to maybe purchasing a home in the district where you live or something like that. And I saw some conversation around that as well. Question five, many teachers purchase homes. Oh, here we go. Question five, many teachers purchase homes out of the district they work in because of costs. What sort of role should the community play to ensure teachers can afford to own homes in the districts they teach in? And there was an exchange between Robert Franklin, who is at Franklin MPH, and Dean Garn. Robert said, in neighborhoods that are blighted and struggling for healthy role models, it would be strategic to support T's and their families. And I think that's really interesting because sometimes you just need some investment in a community and you just need some remodeling to help that blight go away. And I think of the Bricktown area of Oklahoma City 2 decades ago or whatever, before the first MAPS project, and it was not a good place to be. It was kind of rough and potentially scary looking. And now with intentional investment in that area, it's a thriving community now. And they've got all the cool housing down there. They've got a vibrant culture with all kinds of places to eat or listen to music, and they've got the river taxis. All of that has happened because somebody was strategic in their investment, and that's exactly what Robert's saying here. Let's be strategic with teachers and put them. Let's create these blighted and struggling neighborhoods, and let's put some health. Let's inject some health into them. Dean Garn said, you know, what a great way to anchor struggling neighborhoods, teachers who live near schools where they are teaching. And then we all have a stake in what's going on there. And I think that's a really cool thing to do. I never had the opportunity to live in the school district where my kids were going. So that was a drawback as well, because I could vote on bond issues that affected my children, but I couldn't vote on bond issues that affected the school I was teaching. So there's definitely some perks that you can have when you live inside the school district where you teach. A friend of mine that I've gone to school with is from Chicago, and he was telling me that if you want to teach in the Chicago public school system, you have to live in the Chicago public school system. And I think that's interesting. Because there's been a side effect to that where there's been some unintended consequences that have come as well. We've had conversations about that, things that you don't think of, but I think there's some positive benefits as well. Question six, UConn Public Schools now provides matching 529 college savings plans for its teachers' children. While waiting for a solution for Okla Ed teacher pay, would this be an incentive to stay in Okla Ed and or your district? And I have three small kids. I gotta say, when I saw that UConn offered this, it got my attention because they're going to college one day, I hope. But an opportunity to start saving now for that is really a cool thing. And I don't know how UConn is doing it. So good for you, UConn, to think outside the back box on tackling this problem. Excellent job. So Renee Bell, who is at BioBellRocks, she said, I think any incentive a district can give is much appreciated, but we stay because of relationships. Oklahoma just needs dollars for teachers. And I agree with that. I've moved school districts a few times. And I enjoyed the relationships that I developed with faculty and students at each place along the way. But one of the things that I also discovered was that no matter where I taught, there were always students that I needed to teach. There were those struggling students that I would have never impacted if I hadn't been in that school. Or there was those students that I would never have had a chance to create a relationship through math if I hadn't have been in that school. So on the one hand, yes, I say because of relationships, but there will always be kids that need you no matter what school district you live in. And it's true that we need dollars for teachers. That has to be addressed at some point. But I think anything that we can think of from the district, any sort of incentive or cool thing or whatever that comes along, would definitely be appreciated. And that's one of the drawbacks that I think that some of the people that work in private industry don't understand is school districts are not money-making machines. They don't have revenue streams. They don't have stock options. They don't have all these different things that they can offer us when we start working there. If I go get a job at Devon, there's a whole host of things that are available to me as perks that are not available to me because I'm a school teacher. And by the laws and the rules that bind how schools can spend money. So yeah, any way that districts can get creative. And I think a 529 plan is an awesome idea, especially for those teachers that have students. Question 7, what are some ways Okla Ed can go to their own communities and get these initiatives started? Tyler Bridges is always looking at ways to impact policy. He always has great ideas, and here's what he said, and really this is it. Openly engage with civic leaders, chambers, clubs, city council, etc. Sit at the table with all that have stake in the success of Okla Ed. I think this is a powerful, powerful tweet because one of the issues that came out with that occurred during the penny sales tax was a lot of the city chambers were against the sales tax. And so there's got to be some common ground between these city chambers and the school districts where these chambers are, you know, where these two places cohabitate. There has to be a way that we can promote those schools and that they can work together that on a plan that mutually benefits both the city chamber and the community school district. And sometimes there's differences there, and rightfully so, because they're kind of different entities. But at some point, the Oklahoma City Chamber of Commerce and the Oklahoma Public School System, they benefit each other. You can sell Oklahoma City to all kinds of businesses if you can sell that the school system is strong. And so they have to work together at some point on this, and they have to figure out ways to be creative, to provide ideas and generate ideas for initiatives to get started. The second question was, administrators, what are some barriers you foresee in having these conversations with community stakeholders? And I think some of the barriers are there's different goals and there's different overall goals. The Chambers of Commerce is going to have a different goal than public education, just by nature of they're two different entities serving two different purposes. And I think trying to overcome some of those barriers that are put up, like should a chamber support a penny sales tax or not? Or should a chamber do XYZ, or should a school district try and move towards XYZ? So these are combative things. And in order for these things to be situated in a way where growth can occur, everybody's got to sit down at the table. And that's where Tyler was talking about a few minutes in his answer to this tweet. You know, we've got to talk with all these people. We've got to talk with these clubs. We've got to talk with city council. We've got to have these healthy conversations to seek out ways that we can be creative. Question 8, teachers, what was not mentioned tonight that you could see as something that would encourage teachers to teach and stay in Okla Ed? And Christy Cooper, who is at ChrisCoop80, she said, don't let all the negativity stop you. Being a T is a great and rewarding career. You will just have to keep fighting the good fight. And that's a great tweet. And there is a lot of negativity. And sometimes it's super, super frustrating to be a teacher in Oklahoma right now. But it is rewarding. And there are great, great, great things that happen as a result of being a teacher, and relationships that are made and experiences that are had and memories and teaching in itself, always being able to seek out knowledge and share it with kids. You just can't replace it. It's awesome. The other thing to keep in mind here too is that teachers didn't take a vow of poverty when they became teachers. So while fighting the good fight, you know, is it a calling? Yes, it is. But doctors are called to be doctors. And people who are brilliant business people are called to do that passion for that business. And so we just have to keep all of that in mind. We can't just look at it and go, well, you were called to be a teacher, so this is what you get. You know, teachers didn't take a vow of being poverty when we did decide to become teachers. But we did vow to make a difference. And so I love what Chris Cooper is saying with this one. My favorite question tonight, gosh, there were so many really thoughtful questions, but I really liked question 3. Here are a few incentives being discussed that can mean huge savings for educators. What would be the most beneficial and what would you add? I think by starting here, what can school districts offer as a benefit, as an incentive, as a hook for please come teach for us? is such an important conversation. We have to get outside the box on what we're able to offer. I know that I saw there was some mention of MidDel, where if you teach in the MidDel school district, you can. There's a MidDel rewards program, and when you show your school ID, there's different perks and benefits that you get all over the MidDel area at different businesses. And I think that's a great start. That's a great start. And so different things that we could toss in there. I saw somebody tweeted that there wouldn't be a grocery tax for teachers or something like that, or just different things along those lines. And I think question three leads us on the track of what can we offer? What can we do? What can we start talking about to help it to offer incentives for teachers so that they want to stay in Oklahoma? So that's my favorite question. I had a couple of boom sauce tweets of the night. The first one came from Dan Krutka, who was instrumental in founding the Okla Ed Twitter chat. And you can find him on Twitter at Dan Krutka, K-R-U-T-K-A. And it related back to a Rob Miller tweet, but basically Dan said, yes, feminization of teaching in the U.S. happened in the 1800s because women were seen as cheap options for taxpayers. Low pay is a sexist legacy. And that was a bam right there. Because when you think about it, that's where we're at. And Dan said it, so that was great. And it was related to this tweet from Rob Miller, who is at Edgeblocker blogger. Harsh reality is that wage gap for teachers exists because of gender bias. Many cling to outdated notion that husband's job pays the bills. And funny story, I teach, yes, I love teaching. I make no claims that I intended to be Bill Gates when I started teaching. I don't want Bill Gates' issues. I don't want his money, but I do enjoy teaching and all the things that come with that. But I don't pay the bills in my house. My wife is an RN. She enjoys what she does. She works really hard at it, but she earns way more than I do, and I've got almost 2 degrees more than she does. So what does that say? You know, I'm still in this tradition that Rob and Dan are talking about. It's just an interesting conversation to have. A friend of mine, Kevin McDonald at KMAC Oklahoma, I believe is his Twitter handle. He one time had shared out an original teacher's contract from 1910 or 1914 or something like that. But it was really interesting in that, you know, she had to arrive early and sweep the classroom. She had to wear a dress. It had to cover the ankle of her boot. She couldn't get pregnant. She couldn't smoke. She couldn't drink. She couldn't, and it was like 20 different things like that. And it all referred to she. It was never a he in there. And I just thought that was interesting. And I feel like there was something about ice cream in there too. She also needed to start the fire in the cast iron heater for the, I mean, it was just fascinating. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. But anyway, so that was the tweet. What can our communities do to help them start looking at retaining teachers, and what can they do to offer teachers? So very fascinating chat. And for sure, if you missed it, you need to get back in there and look at the transcript. It was pretty good. So coming up next week, we will have on the fifth Sunday every month, if you aren't aware, on the fifth Sunday, it's a legislative update Sunday. So coming up at 8:30 on, or at 8 o'clock, sorry, at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on Sunday, as it is every Sunday, is the Okla Ed Chat, and it'll be focused on the legislative update. And at this time of year, there's no telling what this chat is going to revolve around because stuff is fluid and in motion. But it'll be hosted by Sean Heim, and it's always a good thing to pay attention to this just so that you can know what mandates, what laws, what things are coming. So that brings us to a close for this particular episode of Okla Said, and I appreciate your time, and we hope that that you have the super best week ever. All right, educators, you know what to do. Go dominate the world.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.